This is the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the best of today's Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
Headphones. I was like, oh, this sounds like a decent, like, you know, some cool ska version of a Christmas. What in the world is this?
Oh, boys.
Brian Geisinger, while staying up past midnight to watch NBA games, I woke up this morning to a document that had way more information on it than normally does.
I thought I'd throw some stuff in there.
He was filling in sports info and songs. He had songs picked for every segment.
Christmas shoes kicked me on out of here.
You punted one of those probably nice, juicy, local indie rock selections or cool hip-hop straight out of the triangle. And it's instead, you've got, what is this, Alien Ant Farm doing Christmas shoes? What is this weather
FM Static doing Christmas shoes. Mr. Permar.
Where did you find this song?
The internet is a magical place.
Turn it up.
I love Green Day's holiday album.
Yeah.
This is from the album called X-Christmas.
Here we go. Sir, I wanna buy
these shoes. Come on! These guys, they have to be doing this tongue-in-cheek, right?
Listen, mama's dying, but it's a party, boys. You told me I couldn't bring the sappy, sad one. I had to bring different versions, so I went and found you one.
You obeyed the letter of my request, if not the spirit.
I got a different version that I've still got waiting in the wings that probably scared the hell out of a lot of people, to be honest with you.
I imagine it will. I guess that'll give us something to wait for next week, I suppose. Moose.
Yo.
In addition to bringing tasty musical selections, let's hope that you've brought an excellent weather report. It is time for the Johnson County Tailgate Weather Report.
It's time to point that jewel east and talk to the weather moose with the Johnston County Weather Report.
All right. A song I never get tired of hearing. This week's weather report is brought to you by the Glenwood Crossroads Annual Gingerbread House Contest that's held every year at the Golden Lady Beauty Salon. This contest is known countywide for its creativity, as last year's winner actually built a gingerbread meth lab that actually exploded. It was tremendous. It had pyrotechnics. It had smoke. It was the works. They even had a little mini hazmat response vehicle built out of gingerbread. It was just incredible. So head on down to Glenwood Crossroads. Check out some of the finest gingerbread that Johnston County has to offer. All right. Our first stop today is going to be in Charlotte, South Carolina, as Clemson and Virginia square off in the ACC championship game tomorrow night in Bank of America Stadium. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's going to be awesome to see a professional football team play in that stadium after watching a bunch of amateurs there the last couple months. So yeah. I'm really looking forward
to that.
That's
a soccer stadium now, Moose.
Yeah,
that's true. It really should be a fantastic tailgate scene with temperatures in the low to mid-50s, winds out of the northeast at around 5 to 10 mile an hour. Should see a wind chill in the lower 40s as the game kicks off. Rain chances are low, right around 7 to 9%. Seven is also the same number or the number of different coastal teams that have played in this game in the last 7 years.
Yep. That's how competitive it is. It's just cutthroat conference right
Roger Goodell would kill for that parody.
That's how competitive it is. Yeah. Nine, however, is how many years in a row the Atlantic Division will have won this thing after Clemson destroys the Cavaliers.
Is it really nine straight?
Yeah. It will
It will be nine straight. It is ridiculously stupid.
All Clemson or FSU, right? Is there anybody
Clemson,
else?
Yeah. Clemson will be five in a row. No, well, yeah, something like I don't know how many it is. It's a lot. It's Clemson and FSU. Yeah. You got it. Next, we're going to bring it closer to home as the Hurricanes host the Minnesota Wild at PNC Arena tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. If you're heading out there early, take a coat or maybe a sports and late toboggan like Jordan Martinuk likes to wear.
Yes.
Because temperatures will be in the upper 40s, but a wind chill will make it feel like the lower 40s. And there's not much of a chance of rain, so you're cracking your storm brews in the parking lot, but the sky will be covered 25% in clouds. 25 is also the number of different ways that Canes fans have come up with to kill Joe Thornton after his bullcrap last night.
He's got to die. I'm sorry.
We ain't going to stand for it.
That's the rules.
That's right. And lastly, here's the thing. We've got a big football night across the state tonight, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. Huge. Regional championships all over the state. So are you going to head up to Tarboro to see the Vikings take on the Aces of Edenton Holmes?
Ooh.
Or maybe you're driving down to Clinton to watch the Dark Horses battle the Eagles of Northeastern.
I love the Dark
Horses. What about the Firebirds of Southern Nash that are hosting the Eagles of Eastern Alamance? We got a lot of Eagles in this state.
Yeah. Mm.
And then you got the Wake Forest Cougars hosting the Pride of Leesville Road. So it's a huge night. Notice how I didn't mention
Cougars versus Pride is an ongoing matchup, right? It's like Cougars versus Pride is kind of an matchup of eternity, right?
Man.
Anyway, sorry to cut you off. That one just caught
me. My man Hayes Perbar.
Yeah. Notice how I didn't mention any Johnston County teams, and that's because all them boys are they want to be done with football to focus on the last month of deer season. So all that's out the window. Football, that's done. Anyway, it's a cold night tonight. Temperatures in the upper 40s around kickoff with scattered rain showers, mainly impacting the teams in the eastern half of the state, if at all. There's a 34% chance of rain. 34 is the number of times that Jonathan Rand brought up Garner football. But it's also how many points by which they lost to Leesville Road.
That's
the Johnston County Tailgate Weather Report. I'm the Weather Moose, and I love you guys.
We don't guarantee a state title every year for Garner. We told you they'd get to the third round of the playoffs, and they did.
And they did, Moose.
You didn't believe, when they were 1-5, you're like, those guys at Sports Illustrated are liars. There's no way they'll get to the third round of the playoffs, and they did.
Went 5-1, made it to the playoffs, and got smoked.
Yeah. Weather Moose, we love you. You are
snow.
Oh yeah, God, I almost forgot.
Oh hey, yeah, snow.
I always forget something when it comes to the Moose. Sometimes it's
him.
The Moose entirely.
It's generally me most of the time.
Moose, you are taunting and teasing us on Twitter with your snow ? Tweets.
Consider that taunting or teasing. Well, what I consider that to be is disseminating useful information.
Taunting.
How is it useful, Moose, when you literally just do this? Snow.
I have explained my weather warning system to everybody. Snow ? Means I'm watching long-term trends for snow. Snow with a period means, oh, crap. Snow with an exclamation mark means we're all going to die. That's basically where I'm at.
So we're somewhere between snow ? And snow period?
We're still in the snow ? Phase of my winter weather forecast. Right. Monitoring a system sometime next weekend, early next week.
Wait, early next weekend to early next week?
I said no, next weekend into early the following week. You know what I meant to say. Bag on it. I've been hitting the shine early this morning for you.
Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to admit that, but that's okay.
Just whatever, man. Yeah.
He is the Weather Moose, fine rec league basketball coach, terrible chooser of Christmas music, and our local meteorologist. Weather Moose, thank you.
Love you, boys.
Remember last year when you were on your own, swore the spirit couldn't be found. December rolled around and you were counting on it to roll out. And everything's gonna be cool this Christmas.
Everything's gonna be cool this Christmas.
Everything's gonna be cool. Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
BG has some really good bumps today, and we're going to play them all at some point in the show, the ones that we keep booting.
I dig this, though.
Yeah.
No apology. There's no need to apologize. I throw stuff in there understanding that some of it's going to get moved around. These are just suggestions, mandates.
When are we bumping with a Hard Candy Christmas?
I may have that on deck for not a bump, but just to be used in the show. We're going to make Hard Candy Christmas a Christmas song this year.
It is.
Is that gonna be our new?
We
didn't
make it.
It's known, but I'm gonna say we're gonna make it more widely known. Okay. By the time we get to Christmas, people in the Triangle will have that on their playlist.
Anything by Dolly is a banger.
Ben Swain joins us now to take us back to revisit 1 month in 2019. Every day between now and the end of our shows, he will take us back in the Wayback Machine to revisit 1 month in 2019. But Swain, why don't you start by telling us what that was that we were listening to? I liked that.
That was The Eels with Everything's Gonna Be Cool This Christmas.
The Eels.
It is. The Eels. Yes.
Not the Eagles. The Eels. E-E-L-S.
The Eels.
Not the Heels.
No.
You pronounce that the Hills.
Goodson would say the Ills.
The Ills. Yeah.
What's going on, man? Are you traveling with the Junior Canes? Is that correct?
I am. I'm literally in the Wayback Machine because I'm way back at 10 a.m. here in Nashville.
Whoa, wait. Yeah.
So wait, we're just starting the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first segment.
Yeah. In your world, you're coming
wake
on.
Wake up,
Nashville, maybe?
Wake up, Nashville.
I don't know if it quite works like that.
Your Titans are home this weekend. Maybe. I don't know.
We're back in the past. 1 hour with Ben Swain, who's taking us back even further. Tell us how the Wayback 2019 review is going to work.
We're offering a public service here because what's the first thing that goes when you're tired? It's your memory, right?
Yep.
Like, you don't remember anything because you're sluggish, you're tired, but you can remember everything if you call our friend Brandon Giegling over at Parkway Sleep Health Centers in Cary. At some point, I will get that correct. Parkway Sleep Health Centers in Cary. Book your sleep study consultation today, and they can detect over 100 different sleep disorders that are keeping you from your best sleep. Call them today or go online at parkwaysleep.com, and you can remember everything that happened this year. And in case you don't remember, we're going to hook you up. We're going to talk about January today.
All right.
We're going to start at the beginning. It was a big month. So first of all, ACC, Clemson won the national championship over Alabama. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but Clemson did indeed play an SEC team in the national championship and beat them. But there are a couple things that came from this game that I want to touch on. One, Nick Saban called a fake field goal where the kicker ended up being the lead blocker. You guys remember that play?
Yes.
It did not work. In case you don't remember, that play did not work.
Did they also try an onside kick at one point? Or was it just...
Did they even kick off?
I can't remember. You could tell that Saban knew that he was in trouble because he was pulling out all stops and not all of them were working.
Grasping for straws and he's not tall enough to reach any of them, you know?
Yeah, you've got an entire arsenal full of five-star recruits at your disposal and you run a play where your field goal kicker is the lead blocker.
We'd love to see it.
And then after the game, I know BG remembers this, but a new food craze swept the nation. The hamburger.
The hamburger.
I did not say that incorrectly. It is a hamburger. Clemson visited the White House and Trump welcomed them with a room full of Burger King fast food hamburgers. And it was one of his tweets, right?
Yes.
A tweet and then misspelled the word hamburger.
Swain, actually, I think a hamburger is a hamburger that's been served to you at room temperature. I'm pretty sure that's how that works, actually.
A hamburger, okay.
That was straight designed by David Lynch, man. That entire, just a very surreal moment.
It wasn't just the term hamburger. It was to see somebody at a White House visit and a long table just stacked
with Trump just surveying his bounty from behind to just like, oh, what a weird moment.
McDonald's,
BG,
Burger King.
Can you do me a favor, BG, and can you tweet that out? That picture out from our account so everybody can remember what that picture looked like.
Yes.
If you do it, I'll do something for you later, a little quid pro quo.
Okay.
Stop it. All right. What else is happening?
Woke Swain.
Yeah.
He's had lots of sleep. He is very woke.
I'm not prepared for that.
I like it.
I am watching my back here in Tennessee right now.
What else happened in January, Swain?
Yeah, in basketball, Trey Jones got hurt in the first half against Syracuse. Duke ends up losing that game in overtime and then goes up to Virginia the next game and wins without him. Zion and RJ combined for 57 points on 28 shots. And then the next game, Jay-Z goes to Pitt to watch Duke play Pitt, or maybe he was just watching Pitt. We don't know. Maybe he was going to the Panther party.
he was definitely at the Panther party. I will make a slight amendment here. That win over UVA in January was in Durham. The win in Charlottesville was in February.
You sure?
Yes, positive.
All right.
Yeah, Brian Geisinger, I think he attended
both
of them.
I'm definitely right about this.
I think Brian Geisinger attended both
of them. I went to both of these games.
You watched the game with Darnie and Brown, though, right?
Yes, I went up there, yeah.
Okay, all right.
And LeBron.
LeBron.
And LeBron. Also in Virginia news, NC State took Virginia to overtime in Raleigh, but they lost, unfortunately, in overtime. And then they lost the first round of the UNC rivalry 90-82.
I do not remember State taking Virginia to overtime.
State was down a good bit throughout most of that game and actually came back and had a chance to win at the end of regulation. It was kind of it was a great game.
I went to that game.
I think Jerome was not 100%, and also Virginia was at a stretch of playing they had played three or four games in as short of a period of time as they possibly could. They looked out of steam against State that night.
Okay, somebody turn Darnie's microphone off, please.
Yeah, sorry. Just providing a little bit of context, that's all. Oh, also say, too, that Duke game at Pittsburgh, that's like in one of the top five games Zion had last season,
was
100%. He was 10 of 10 on two-pointers with every shot coming at the rim.
Yeah. That was a Javon Delaurier-esque game for him. Our Tar Heels, they got absolutely blown out at Louisville. But the big story from that game is the broadcast cut away from the game early so that fans could catch the tip-off of Duke Florida State, which people handled very maturely. That was not a problem for anybody that ESPN or CBS, or I can't remember what network was on, cut away from the UNC game to start the Duke game on time. Duke went on to win that game on a Cam Reddish buzzer beater, which I believe was the last shot that he made all season. The Canes on the ice went 8-3-1 in January, best January in franchise history.
Woo.
And they started off the month with a four-game winning streak. Alex Nedeljkovic closed out the month with his first NHL start and beats Vancouver. But here's the thing. You guys remember any Hurricanes wins last year? Like, what happened in the game? No.
No.
How do you categorize in your mind the Hurricanes games from last year?
About the storm surge.
The
storm surge, yeah. That's what they did after the game. So here are the January storm surges that they did. They kicked off the month with the Thor storm surge.
One of the most famous ones. Yep.
Yeah. Then the next one they did was the jumping chest bumps, where they kind of skated and met in mid-ice, and teammates would jump up and bump each other in the chest. And that most notably pulled out the somebody's going to get hurt weirdos that hated the storm surge. Like, oh, this is all fun and games until somebody gets hurt. And then the last one they did was the team bowling, where I can't remember who was bowling, but maybe Justin Williams.
I think you might be right.
Michael Ferland played the pin that wobbles before it falls. So he did not go down right away, but maybe he just didn't really want to get hurt for real. So maybe that's what that was.
The best Hornets. I was going to say, the best part of all those storm surges is, like, the little details. You know,
They were great last night, too.
Was it Dougie Hamilton who, like, slammed his glove on the ground when he gave up the homer?
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, the little details that would sell the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, the pin that's wobbling and won't go down.
The details that happened in the basketball one we'll talk about in March.
Yes.
Is probably the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, everybody had a specific role in that storm surge that directly correlated to something that happened in basketball history.
Yep.
Which is incredible. Let's see, what else? The Hornets, they have a team, and they went 6-8 in January, which is pretty much spot on. They didn't go 3-1 at home though, that month. The Hornets wrapped up the month losing 126-94 in Boston, which would end up being Kemba's new home.
Yeah.
Sorry, BG.
You'll remember, too, that, like, this is the month before the NBA trade deadline in 2019. The Hornets were pretty close to perhaps swinging a couple of deals. Again, that was sort of on the hills of of a not great January for them.
The heels. And then nationally, like, pop culture news, the Amazon logo. The Amazon logo became a lot more clear to us as the National Enquirer leaked some not so enjoyable text from Amazon founder Jeff Bezos.
Mm.
Yeah, we're going to leave it there. We're going to leave it at that. But January.
I was trying to remind myself and read some of these texts, and I was like looking for the Jeff text, and I was like I couldn't find them. And then I realized I had searched for Jeff Bezdelic's leaks text, which were totally different. We're totally different from Jeff Bezos's leak text. So anyway, I'll go back and find that later.
That would be amazing because he would be like in divorce court, going, "Well, if it weren't for that leak text, I'd still be married." that's our January 2019. It was a great month of sports here in North Carolina, and it's fun to look back on those times.
Excellent. Was there anything else that happened in January you wanted to mention? I thought we were going to take a gratuitous shot at Moose in this.
Well, the government shutdown was because of... Yeah, no.
we'll wrap up that segment.
We'll let that slide.
All right, Swain, thank you. Good luck to the Junior Hurricanes this weekend, and we will talk to you Monday. We'll throw it back to February 2019, I believe.
Do I have time for one bold prediction?
Oh, definitely give us a bold prediction.
Every team in this tournament is going to go home 3-1, except for the Junior Hurricanes. They're going to take home the trophy. But it's exciting because every kid that plays in this tournament will go home with as many Stanley Cups as Joe Thornton.
That's true. Congrats. Can't deny it.
Hopefully they will punch fewer goalies as well. The Junior Canes are, for the most part, good sports. All right, thank you, Swain. We will talk to you on Monday, my friend.
Later.
Now that the tears dry and the pain takes over, let's talk this payola, payola. You killed God's baby when it wasn't his will and blood spill. We can't talk this over. The Lord is my shepherd. I am not sheep. I am just a short stone's throw from the streets. I bring my offering. I will not preach. Awaken my demons. You can hear that man screaming. I'm no different than the priest. Santeria. Santeria. Santeria.
Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
What?
I can't give you Christmas music stamp of approval because it's Santeria. Is that what you were trying to work in, Brian Geisinger? Santeria?
I was actually not. This was just on my Spotify Wrapped list for 2019.
Nice. That's fair.
Yeah.
I wish I did use Spotify as my like main music outlet, so then we could play all of our... Is that what it's officially referred to as, your Wrapped list?
Yeah. But I also have a playlist that I made a couple months ago that's my SC8 Bumps list, too.
Ooh. But then those are just going to be... if your SC8 Bumps list becomes most listened to, then they'll just become the same thing.
It's just feedback loop,
yeah. Exactly.
It's not like that.
Okay, good.
It's not yet.
But yes, I'm not giving Santeria the Christmas...
No, this was not... It just happened to work out that way, even if you're not going to allow it.
All right. It's almost Christmas time. You want to get us something for Christmas. We want to tell you what to get. We've got options. And I'm typing on the documentary right now and trying to talk at the same time.
That was good. Working. Yeah, that was solid radio.
That, yep.
All right. The first thing that was on the Christmas list was the PBR 99-pack.
Is that back?
That's still on there. I just like to review them in case people missed.
Okay.
And, you know, some days we mention things that are, like, very expensive. Some days we mention things that are less expensive. The PBR 99 pack is very reasonable. Mm-hmm. Any of you could purchase this for us. Yeah. Okay? It was about $60.
And this is, like, real. Like, this is necessary. This is the first one we talked about.
Yes. And last year we asked for and received the Miller High Life in a champagne bottle.
Did
those
we?
Those were awesome.
Oh, did we?
Well, yeah, some of us did.
Yeah, okay. Have fun at that Christmas party, boys.
The second thing on our Christmas list this year was, after the PBR 99 pack case, was the self-contained Hootenanny. 17 instruments, all in one, played with air and pipes. You can play 15,000 songs.
But coincidentally, it was playing Goodson's favorite song.
The one song that Goodson can always sing to.
The picture of the PBR 99 can package is hilarious.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, I don't know how you would transport such a thing.
You would need a U-Haul.
Somebody is going to hear this and is going to ship us the PBR 99 pack. We ran through the states that you can get it in. There's like 15 of them. Yeah. North Carolina ain't one. I think South Carolina's one. So maybe
there's some close ones.
David Tepper down there can grab us one. I guess they gave better tax breaks to PBR to sell their case. And yes, this
is incredible.
Was the self-contained Hootenanny. 15,000 songs.
Come on, Goodson.
But we're only going to play Man of Constant Song. Today, Goodson's not going to want the Hootenanny after he hears today's gift.
Uh-oh.
Today, we're going back in the archives to get a Christmas present that you all need. Because I realize some people know this. They know this Christmas song, but they need to know it better and this Christmas album. The addition today to the Sports Channel 8 Christmas list is the studio album Once Upon a Christmas by Kenny and Dolly, baby.
Yes.
Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton in one of the greatest Christmas albums of all time. Now.
Maybe.
Come on, Goodson.
Too many Christmas songs are all happy. Turn this one up. Sometimes you need a little somber, morose Christmas. What if you just got broken up with? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll dye my hair. Hard Candy Christmas is all about.
I was talking with a friend about Spotify Wrapped yesterday.
Yep.
Because one of the things that it can also do is it breaks down year by year, the last decade, how many minutes you listen to Spotify each year.
Wow.
And one of my friends, she had a 1 year where the minutes were like 50% more than any other year she had had in the last decade. And she was like, yeah, it was a breakup year.
it's
a breakup year, yeah.
All right, now, we got to be clear on this. The original Once Upon a Christmas by Dolly and Kenny album doesn't actually include this song.
Ooh.
So you got to get the updated alternate version.
Hard candy Christmas, I'm barely getting through to tomorrow. But still I won't. Someone bring me way down.
So it's got I Believe in Santa Claus by Kenny and Dolly, Winter Wonderland, Sleigh Ride, Just Dolly, Christmas Without You, Kenny and Dolly, the Christmas song, Kenny Only, A Christmas to Remember by Kenny and Dolly. Then Hard Candy Christmas by Dolly Parton.
Sorrow get me waiting.
Get it just for the album cover. I mean, the album cover is great.
It's fantastic.
Dolly and Kenny in a reef.
Put that on a t-shirt, and that could be your... Or put that on a sweatshirt or sweater.
Yeah.
That could be your Christmas sweater.
I mean, come on, Dolly.
Maybe I'll count the stars.
If only there was a way to look up the lyrics and you could have them in front of you.
Yeah, this photo has
maybe I'll just leave town.
Maybe I'll have some fun. Maybe I'll meet someone and make him mine. Me, I'll be just fine. Down it's like a hard candy Christmas.
Get that harmony, boy.
They're like, look, I love people who have chosen to move to North Carolina. But if you ain't from North Carolina, you may not have heard of this one, okay?
Yeah.
This is a Southern Christmas.
Literally never heard this song before.
Add it to your list, baby. From the show Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. But Dolly made this song her own. And you can get it for us of Kenny and Dolly's Once Upon a Christmas album.
Be
fine. Keep changing.
Dandy.
Come on.
But it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow. Still I can live. Sorrow bring me way down.
I love a good somber Christmas song, baby. It's not all cheery. Some of us are going through hard times. We've broken up. We've lost loved ones. And it's about, finding a way to smile at Christmas, even if you are a little sad inside. You can make us smile.
You will not find that anywhere else in sports radio today.
That's not. No one else is bumping back with Hard Candy Christmas. You can buy us Once Upon a Christmas by Dolly and Kenny. That is the latest addition to the Sports Channel 8 Christmas wish list. Buy it for us. Right now, we got a Christmas gift for you, or for at least one person. Tom Green at the Raleigh Improv. We got 4 tickets tonight, December 6th, 2019. What that means is, you're going to have to pick these up, so make sure.
No.
Rand.
They will be at Will
Just
Call
kidding.
For you.
Just kidding. Just kidding. All you got to do is be able to go tonight. You don't have to pick these tickets up. They'll be waiting at Will Call. 4 tickets to Tom Green at Raleigh Improv tonight at 7 o'clock.
What's a random Christmas song?
Sure.
Yeah. All you got to do is name a Christmas song.
Tom Green was in studio today with Sports Shop.
Sports Shop, always crushing it with the guests.
I got to get Shelton's sleeves are a lot better than mine.
Give us a call right now, 8605-FAN, 8605-326. Name a random Christmas song, and you can win 4 tickets to Tom Green at the Raleigh Improv tonight. He's performing all weekend. We got tickets tonight. Give us a call, 8605-FAN, 8605-326. The Bowl Whisperer, the man who knows where your team is going bowling, joins us next. Joe Giglio for the News and Observer here now. I didn't want to take it away from you.
You're good. You're good. It's your show.
I mean,
you're
he's my friend, but he's your boy. Like, I thought you wanted to introduce Joe Giglio.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
He was not there for keynote night. He
whoa.
Garner in the
Garner
boy.
Rep.
Ooh.
Come on.
All right, yes.
Come on.
Garner in the house.
Yes.
Egon.
Sorry, BG. We have no claims.
No, I was saying then maybe I should have been the one to introduce Joe because I am the least connected, actually.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Should have gone in the opposite direction.
I am a huge NBA fan other than that.
There we go.
That's enough.
Are you on the Devontae Graham all-star trail like Brian Geisinger is?
Absolutely. If anybody can make that work, it'll be Natalie Brenneman, who works for the Charlotte Hornets.
Also
no
a Pac
doubt.
Pro, right?
Pac Pro.
Pac Pro, yeah. Devontae Graham, yeah.
No, Natalie Brenneman is a
Pac Pro. Okay, Natalie Brenneman, yes. Devontae Graham, no. Yeah. All right, Goodson, what good info can we draw out of our man Joe Giglio today about bowl games?
I did want to make him mad first to start off to talk about.
That's how we always like to
talk about really, really good and fun things, NC State football. They did just fire Dave Huxtable earlier this week, and I had the question, and I'm sure some fans do too. Everyone knows Tony Gibson was on the staff, but whenever you're angry and mad, you want to fire everybody, and so when you promote someone from within, it doesn't feel as good, I guess, as most fans would want. So what is NC State getting in Tony Gibson? Your just thoughts.
Poor Tony Gibson came from West Virginia,
and
this season really turned when they lost the West Virginia game. And unfortunately for NC State, it's kind of a chapter in NC State stuff that they hired West Virginia's defensive coordinator. Like, the one team West Virginia could run roughshod over is their former defensive coordinator, which is what happened in week 3. And, you know, there's a stone there, a domino that sends this season in motion. Actually, I think it's not a terrible concept. You have a guy, they run a different system, they want to run this 3-3 stack. It's a system that he had at West Virginia. It's a system Dave Doran went to this year. The really complicated part about NC State's defense is, like, they had 3 guys basically calling the plays last year. In Dave, they had Dave Huxtable, and they had, I don't know how much Tony Gibson was technically involved in the granular detail of the play calls. So I think what this does is it gives Gibson kind of authority to do that, and then obviously Dave Doran is going to contribute his 2 cents because that's his expertise, is the defensive side of the ball.
There we go.
Yeah. That's all I needed.
That's all you wanted to know?
Yeah.
That's it? That's the only question you have about NC State football
this
season.
Let's go to break.
All right, yeah.
Interview done.
But before we ask you where teams are going to bowl games, I hinted at it, but tell us some of what your process is without revealing any industry secrets so that people sort of know how you go about discerning where people go. For the first thing, and this is as hard as anything, is knowing all the actual rules and tie-ins, because here on this show, at times we've said things that we think were true, but we probably hadn't read all the fine print of how things go. Do you ride around and listen to us in frustration?
No. There's a lot of NASCAR to the ACC bowl rules. Because you can have it one day.
They switch them up.
Then all of a sudden the next day. This Virginia Tech's record is one of those examples this year where you can ask a question of the league and they can give you an answer and then all of a sudden it changes. I'm not saying it in a nefarious way. It's a very fluid situation. So for me, I obviously talk to the people at the ACC. I talk to people at the different schools. It's probably going to be schools here.
Right.
But I do randomly have people at Boston College and some other schools who help me. I talk to a lot of the different people who run the actual bowl games. Like I kind of got a kick out of the Belk Bowl Twitter account yesterday. They're like, oh, are we one of your sources? And I'm like, no. Like, guys, come on. I'm not guessing here. So I don't put the teams in the order. I have no say in any of this stuff. I just, as you said, I know the rules. And that comes
in starting point.
Pretty helpful with A, the schools themselves, and then B, the bowls themselves whenever there is a personnel turnover. And then, of course, to complicate things, this is the final year of a 6-year contract that the ACC has with many of their bowls, and that's going to change next year.
New set of rules, new set of bowls.
So for me, I go to the bowls themselves, I go through the conference, and I go through the different schools and just try to get the information, and you're sharing information too, like, hey, you know, what's Florida State going to do? You know, when you talk to the military bowl, well, what's going to happen in Tier 1, because they have the first choice after Tier 1, so... it's a lot of fact gathering and information sharing, and it can be interesting because it does change.
All right.
It really does.
Where do we want to start? From the top down, or do we want to just start with locally?
Well, how much do the individual schools have, like, favors they can ask? Because I'm sure there's certain teams that either want to go to a certain location, or maybe even, we talked about it in the break, I know they cannot choose, I want to play this team, but... For some teams, Wake Forest has had a great year, but it probably wouldn't benefit them from a competitive standpoint to have to play a Georgia-type team or something like that in a game as well. So
yeah. So what's really important about this process is it's almost like us in this studio right here. There's four people, and that's the four games in the Tier 1. And they sit there on Sunday, and they go, okay, the ACC gives them a list of teams and says, here are the teams you can choose from.
Right.
And then, you know, you're New York, I'm Charlotte, you're Gator, you're Music City, or you're...
And they talk about it with each other?
Or the Sun. And then you go, okay. Or then you go, okay, Hayes, well, who did you have last year?
Right.
And then you're like, okay, well, who's closest to you? Like, who would be really excited? Mm-hmm. One of the things Charlotte always has wanted is, did you win your last game? They're big into that. They love that. That's one of the things
very cool
that they know, like, hey, a team who just won their last game, their fans are going to be motivated. Yeah. If they're certainly close to us, that's something that's going to help us sell tickets, because there's two things in bowl games. You can either sell tickets or you can move television ratings. Those are the only two things that matter to bowl people. They don't care if you won the head-to-head game. They don't care how many alumni you have. They don't care how many season tickets you sold. They don't care what color you wear. They don't care about it. They don't care if you have a coach. What they care about is, are you going to sell tickets or are you going to move needle
on TV?
So they'll sit at the table on Sunday and they'll talk about it. And I think here's a great example of how much say does a school have. Last year, Boston College had already been to Detroit in their most recent bowl trip. And they said, we don't want to go back to Detroit, even though it's not a back-to-back situation. Well, they talked themselves out of Detroit, even though Boston College doesn't really have a lot of sway in the league, right? They don't have that much political capital. But they were able to say, we don't want to go back to Detroit. So the league moved the deal that where they had Wake Forest going to Tampa and changed that deal in the 11th hour, where it would have been Tampa, would have been Wake Forest in South Florida and Tampa, and changed it so that Boston College ended up in Dallas. So when you're a school and maybe you've been wronged a couple times like Boston College has, then you're able to say, hey, you kind of owe us one. And I can't use a great example in this process this year, because I think it's going to be fairly clean once we know the actual bowl order.
Mm.
And that's determined, obviously, by the college football playoff rankings.
Right.
And that's kind of where everything gets sorted after those rankings.
Essentially, I think you talked about it, but you're waiting to see how many SEC teams might be in the new – in the New Year's Six conversation, and then from there it kind of just trickles down.
Yeah, there's the SEC side. There's also how many spots will the ACC have in Orlando? They have the potential for two. Notre Dame's going to be one of them, the top priority. But if they have a second one, then all of a sudden you're talking about, whoa, hey, we could have, there could be Carolina in the Belk Bowl because Virginia Tech would be in the Camping World Bowl. So that whole part of it is, it's a little bit like gambling on wrestling, right? Like WWE, like they put odds out. Like somebody actually knows the answer.
Right.
So
it's like gambling on wrestling.
But you could, there's still a risk there, right? Like there's still something could happen. A scenario could change. And I think that's really what happens on Sunday. Now, a lot of these guys right now are talking to each other going, okay, if A, then we'll do B.
Right.
And that's where you have, I think, this year a fairly clean idea of what's actually going to happen.
All right. Well, you say that obviously the final college football rankings will affect things, but what if none of the ACC teams after Clemson are in the college football rankings, so nothing's going to change?
I've been asked this one now about Virginia. Like, the committee does, I'll clean up my language, dumb stuff.
Right.
And you can't really reason everything that they do. But by putting Virginia into the rankings, which they did after beating Virginia Tech, it stands to reason they're going to keep them there, barring, you know, I don't want to jinx the kid, but like Bryce Perkins turning into Tua Tagovailoa needing a hip replacement at halftime of the ACC championship game.
Right.
Or, you know, it being 100-0
instead of 50-7.
And there's a brawl and like half of Virginia is suspended. Right. Like, these are the kind of scenarios you're talking about. So I hesitate to kind of go down that road of the Wahoos not being ranked and not being in the Orange Bowl.
Well, the other thing we like to do is get you on the record as saying definitively where everyone is going so that when they come out and anything changes, we can come and tell you how you got it wrong and you led us astray.
Yep.
But with that in mind, let's do see how much we can slot or come at least close to slotting.
Man, he made a mistake coming in here today.
We got you now. All right. I am putting Clemson in the college football playoff. Do you have any problem with me doing that?
No.
Okay. And then following what you just said, I am putting Virginia in the Orange Bowl. You got no problem with that?
I have one Virginia writer friend who actually likes me. You know, I'm not very popular with the Wahoos.
Is it the Kihei Clark thing?
Something like that. So he goes to me yesterday.
What was he? Said he's just not an ACC ready point.
This is like
guard.
A 30 for 30 that we need to do.
Well, you'd be like, let's watch him this season, not last season.
When Swain did the season in review and did the Virginia overtime game, I was kind of, I felt a little snub that he didn't mention this was the Kihei Clark game.
That's right.
This is the one that prompted Julio to say, this guy.
This is why Virginia hates me.
I love it. Not only did you say he's not an ACC ready player, I remember it specifically now because you kind of called out Tony Bennett too. Because you said, I'm not sure what Tony Bennett is trying to prove here. Yes. Kihei Clark is not an ACC point guard and he is still out
there. I'm looking at some of the replies. At some point, one person said, I believe this is number zero that you called some heat for saying something, because I guess his number was number zero.
Fantastic.
All right. Where were we? Holding me to a standard.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I think it's pretty safe that Wake Forest will be in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Okay.
I think that's pretty safe.
Remind us what the ACC Tier 1 bowls are.
Okay. You have Charlotte, Belk, Pinstripe, New York, Sun Bowl, El Paso. And then this year it's Music City in Nashville because it's a six-year contract. They've only had two. They're required to have three ACC teams over that period.
Ah, gotcha. So it's things like that I would never think of.
So it has to be the Music City, not
the Gator
Bowl.
They have to pick somebody in the ACC.
So I think, if you made me bet right now, WWE style, will Brock Lesnar, you know, will The Undertaker lose?
Right.
It would be, I would bet first Wake Forest to the Pinstripe, and I would bet two Virginia Tech to the Belk Bowl.
Okay.
Those are the two things I feel pretty good about.
Yeah.
Gets a little tricky with Music City because of this SEC side of the equation. I think Louisville is most likely to be in the Music City Bowl, but obviously if Kentucky ends up somehow being the opponent in the Music City Bowl,
then they wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't play those. Yeah. They wouldn't put those two teams together.
It'd be fun if they had a good matchup in the rival. They still probably wouldn't do it, but it'd be cool to be
run it back.
Hey, they went
to
the overtime game. Yeah, let's go do it again.
That would be awesome, actually. I could see Carolina going to Music City in that specific scenario of Kentucky being the opponent in the Music City. But that's all determined by the SEC side.
Gotcha.
The Sun Bowl is kind of interesting because, again, you're talking about Carolina. The Sun Bowl is purely about TV ratings. They're not trying to sell tickets. Yep. They have a great in-town support.
And they're on CBS.
They're on CBS. It's a great tradition. So they care about ratings, which normally you'd say Miami. You could say Florida State because it's a team they very rarely get a chance to have.
Yep.
Or In this particular case, you could say Carolina, because of Mack Brown, is a household name in the state of Texas.
Yeah. Mm.
So I could see, and I think Carolina would be interested in going to the Sun Bowl, actually.
We know how you love Juarez.
Permar headed back to Juarez.
So wheel spinning.
But that's one of those, I'll be quite frank, that's one of those games I don't have a great contact with the people in the Sun Bowl. So
you do, right?
I think I got some. I think I may have somebody one
thing,
for you.
One thing I do know is, and this will annoy the Pitt people out there, both of you in the triangle, is they felt slighted last year by having to take Pitt and the Sun Bowl. Yep. They kind of said to the league, you owe us one. Mm. And this year, I think there'll be a little bit more priority. And that would be Miami. I don't feel strong about that. Like, I could see Carolina making a late push at that and saying, here, we have Mac, we have Sam Howell, we have a great story. Mm. I could definitely see them being convinced in the 10th, 11th hour, like, yeah, this would be good for us. The only issue there is, of course, the last bowl game Carolina went to
was the Sun Bowl. That's what I was thinking. Mm. It was wasn't last year
Standard,
or
16.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 16.
It would be fitting, you just talked about the Music City Bowl, to end the decade with
Tennessee,
North Carolina, back in the Music City Bowl that started the decade, the T.J. Yates game.
Yep. Yes.
That would be cool.
Should we change the rules in college football because of that game, right?
Man.
One of many Butch rules.
Look, I am all about anytime you can exploit the rules, like, you don't make them, baby. You're just supposed to figure out how. That's how, when Malzahn pulled to end the Alabama game, basically pulled the, like, we're going to catch them. We're going to put our punter out at wide receiver. We have no intention of running a play. We just want to see if we can get 12 guys on their field at the same time.
The assistant coach for the Hornets, Jay Triano, who was the head coach of the Phoenix Suns a couple years ago, designed a sideline out of bounds play with like a second left on the clock that had Tyson Chandler catching the ball directly above the hoop
because
and like
you
throwing
can,
it down.
Because you can
normally
touch it.
That's interference, but on a sideline out of bounds play, you can catch it above the rim and throw it down through like
knowledge
that.
Of the rules.
Just genius.
Underrated.
Did we want to play a game real quick?
Yeah, let's play a quick game. Let's put Joe Giglio on the all spot. Right. He studies all the bowls. Now, I've noticed this might be difficult for him because he tries to cut through the BS. He doesn't worry about what time your bowl game's being played or who the sponsor is. He puts on blinders. He didn't even refer to the bowl name. Did you hear this?
Right.
He goes straight by city.
Yeah.
Charlotte, New York.
I like it.
El Paso.
Well, then he's going to suck in this game, probably.
So that might work against him. Yeah. So, Joe Giglio, we are going to play a what bowl is this bowl sponsor from?
Oh, wow.
So we tell you the bowl sponsor, you tell us what bowl it is.
All right.
And this is 2019 sponsor.
So I'm giving
I have
sponsor.
Not looked at this list at all.
I'm giving the sponsor, right?
Yeah, you give him the sponsor, you tell us what bowl it is.
All right, we'll give you a layup. Belk.
Oh, come on.
Isn't that the Belk Bowl?
Yes. 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 There you go. You had to start out easy,
any,
right?
Do your sources have any inclination of what could be the next iteration of the Charlotte
Bowl?
Wow,
no. I need to work on that.
We've got Meineke Car Care, Continental Tire, Belk,
and again,
Sports
we're,
Channel 8
another,
we've asked.
And another tangent. Does App have a chance to go there? And what would need to happen real quick?
Yeah, they do.
Well, the App could go to the Belk Bowl?
Yes.
Whoa!
So like
yes.
BT,
we need to make that happen.
Yeah, so.
Tell us that rule.
Man, awesome. I don't know if I could do this quickly, but the SEC, basically, if there are not enough SEC teams,
okay.
The most logical choice would be Appalachian State. Now, ESPN has kind of interceded and said, because the Sun Belt is saying, no, you have to play in our order. You can only play in our order.
Right.
ESPN's kind of like, look, we write the checks.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
We can make this happen. And
we'll
so that possibility has been discussed.
So basically, the Belk Bowl would need a bunch of SEC teams to make the New Year's Six conversation.
Only one, I think. Okay. Only one extra.
Okay.
One extra.
That could happen.
Let's get App to the Belk Bowl, yes.
All right, here we go. Back to the game. Tax Slayer.
Oh, that's the Gator Bowl.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tony the Tiger.
Kellogg's. What would that? Detroit. Quick Lane. No.
It's Sun new
Bowl.
This year.
Oh!
It's not the Hyundai Sun Bowl anymore. It's the Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes Sun Bowl,
I
baby.
Did not know that.
That's pretty good.
I think we did Frosted Flakes rightly rated when that news came out. I always follow my Sun Bowl
cereal
news.
Cereal companies sponsoring a bowl game makes sense, too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Cereal
right.
Bowl.
Franklin American Mortgage.
Oh, that's the Music City Bowl.
Yes, I knew that one.
Yeah, me too.
You got to get out of the ACC, Goodson. Jeez.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Come on, buddy.
All right. Well, you want to stomp me? Stomp me. Let's go, then. Let's go. SoFi.
It's out in California. The Humanitarian Bowl?
Nope, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Mm. Capital One?
Citrus Bowl.
Orange Bowl.
Mm.
Capital One, Orange Bowl.
They don't do both?
Mm-mm. Because Citrus Bowl is something different.
Ugh.
Citrus Bowl is now the VRBO Citrus Bowl. Oh.
VRBO, like the photography thing?
No, I think VRBO is the Airbnb.
Airbnb.
What was I thinking?
I don't know.
VSCO.
I was going to like some basketball analytic. guy has great VRBO.
All right, the Academy Sports and Outdoors.
I got no clue.
Okay, somewhere in Florida.
Texas. The Nova Home Loans.
That's
somewhere in Texas.
Close.
New Mexico.
Arizona Bowl.
What happened to the Cheez-It Bowl? Did they get rid of the Cheez-Its?
No, the Cheez-It Bowl is the Cheez-It Bowl. The Lockheed Martin.
The Armed Forces Bowl.
Yeah. Correct.
That's a layup.
Yeah. Yes.
PlayStation.
Also, Fiesta Bowl.
Yep, no longer Tostitos.
This one's for all the controllers. I almost got them joysticks now.
Yeah. Surf Pro.
Oh, the Independence Bowl.
Nope.
What? First Responders.
That's correct. What is the Independence Bowl?
Oh, walk-ons. You know,
it is the walk-ons. What was it whenever we went?
Camping World.
That's right.
Camping World won it out of Shreveport just like everybody else. They're like, can we get...
This is the last year for the ACC.
Hey, look, Josh Goodson and I are on record as saying any bowl destination that has a casino in your town is an upgrade.
Shout out to the Bossier
City, baby.
It would be awesome if they got Ubers.
I mean,
they may have it now.
Shreveport not having Ubers was a fright. Josh Goodson and I had to rent a limo to get to the game. We were in style.
Scary.
It was still a couple hours before the game, but all of a sudden it was like, we can't walk. Taxis are like lining up because we were at the casino. Yeah. It was like a long wait for that. We just saw some dude with a limo. We were like, here's some money. Can you get us to the game? And we limoed. If El Paso gets a casino, I am signing me up for the Sun Bowl every year. If I can go to a casino, Juarez, and watch a football game in a 36-hour period, I'm a happy, happy man.
All right, a few more. Makers Wanted.
Oh, man. I got nothing.
Bahamas Bowl.
The old Popeyes.
The
Popeyes Bahamas.
Popeyes, we don't need to put any money up anymore. Yeah. We got Twitter.
Yeah. We got chicken sandwiches. We don't need bowls anymore. Although I will say, I love the juxtaposition of Popeyes and Bahamas. Is there even a Popeyes in the Bahamas? But we have a Popeyes Bowl.
R&L Carriers.
That's New Orleans.
That is correct. Mitsubishi Motors. This is a new one. Not a new bowl, but a new sponsor.
New sponsor this year. No, nothing.
The Las Vegas Bowl.
I can confirm there's at least one Popeyes in the Bahamas. Yeah. Nassau.
Hey.
Good to know.
Well, go eat lunch down there. Ticket Smarter.
I'm making these up now.
I love the face.
The Birmingham Bowl.
The Birmingham Bowl doesn't have a sponsor.
The Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl.
Not according to the ACC Media Guide.
Maybe it's happened in the last little bit. Actually, I think I did see that's a recent sign-on. I'm pretty sure it is.
I thought New Mexico and Birmingham didn't have
ESPN just
sponsors.
Underwrites them if they don't pick up sponsors. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that somebody on ESPN staff is tasked with going out there and finding that sponsor before the bowl game takes place. He is Joe Giglio, the Bowl Whisperer. Thank you for joining us in studio. Hold him to all of those predictions as to where
people
will go.
He didn't even ask me where the Tar Heels are going to be.
Well, you said possibly Belk.
I think they'll end up in the Military Bowl. But
you think they'll end up in the Military Bowl.
Wouldn't surprise me if they were talked into one of those other spots. But I do think the Military Bowl will be. Annapolis? That's a nice. I like that.
That's a great spot.
Yeah.
Are they playing?
Is Navy still contractually in?
It's possible, which no one ever wants to play Navy in the bowl game. So. Yeah.
Sports Channel 8. We out for the weekend. Peace.
You've been listening to the best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also drops every weekday at noon. Thanks again for listening to the best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast.